This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Divorce is once again in the news, and it's thanks to this hard right-wing MAGA Republican lady, Marjorie Taylor Greene. She has been talking publicly about the idea of national divorce. She was on Sean Hannity recently. I actually watched the clip during the news break there, and it's not really worth playing, but just to summarize it for you, Hannity is actually being kind of nice to her about it in this clip. He's kind of fielding her some softball questions about national divorce, so he's not as being as negative as I would have expected a mouthpiece like that to do. She is putting forward these ideas, and she even suggested that the national divorce movement is much larger than people in D.C. might even realize that it is. So hopefully we're going to see more discussion about this. She has definitely set off people within the conservative opinion community, including this Matt Walsh character, who said that he understands national divorce, but it can't happen. And that he's, besides, not surrendering half of his country to these people, he says. He'd rather spend the rest of his life fighting with them, he says, than do that. And this is the exact same opinion that I received when I went down after the 2016 election, when Trump was elected. I went down to the protest that was going on in Keene Central Square, where some number of liberal types were holding anti-Trump signs. And you remember when that happened, right? There was a lot of protests after Trump got elected.
Yep.
And I said, I'm going to take some flyers because I've had these New Hampshire Independence flyers for the last decade, thanks to the Foundation for New Hampshire Independence. I like to pass those out at various different events and such. So I got my New Hampshire Independence flyers together and I went down there to the protest because I thought, what better time to talk to some people on the left about independence than when
the
hated guy got elected? Surely there will be some open minds to the idea of independence at this event.
Nope.
And there were. No.
Was there?
Some of the younger people were open to hearing about the idea.
That's interesting.
They took flyers. But the older people, not so much. And one of the guys that I spoke with, an older gentleman, I don't know, maybe in his 60s or something like that, he used the exact same excuse that Matt Walsh did. Said, well, why don't you just support, saying goodbye to Trump and the right-wingers and having more, ability to do what you want to do and not have to fight with these people anymore. I will fight until the day I die to take back our country. The whole thing is the exact same talking point. These people love the idea of forcing their viewpoint down the throats of their political opposition.
Instead of just walking away.
Right. Instead of walking away and having a society that more meets their viewpoint.
Right.
They want to absolutely coerce people who are who disagree with them into obeying their diktats. And it's a sick cycle of abuse. Because none of them wants to go out while they're not on top. And, of course, when they're on top, they don't want to go out, right? So if they're being oppressed by the other side, well, then they want to fight back so they can take over the power structure, turn the tables, and then start forcing their views on the side that's currently forcing their view,
Yeah, and on that. A lot about stuff like that is always idiosyncratic to a lot of people. Like you said, if you just walk away, you'd end up getting the society you're actually trying to get in the first place.
Or you get a lot closer to it. Yeah.
And the same, I was in a conversation with somebody online, and they're talking about how New Hampshire doesn't have a minimum wage, and it's awful. And
by the way, they voted down the proposal to create a minimum wage in New Hampshire. That got voted down, I think, today.
Oh, good. Again, yeah. Thank God.
And there is a minimum wage. It's like $25 an hour right now. Yeah. You mean
you're
set
not going to earn
market.
Less than 20. Yeah.
You mean set by the marketplace.
Right. Yeah. It's a marketplace minimum. It's a, you know, the hidden hand minimum wage. Not a.
That's
not
for
a,
skilled labor. You're 16. Still looking at probably 15 for,
15,
for unskilled.
15, 16, 17 bucks at McDonald's.
Yeah.
No, McDonald's in Hillsboro. I talked about this last week. Kid I talked to was making $22 an hour
Are
there.
You kidding me?
Wow. That's what he told me.
That's amazing.
And he said they offered him $25 to stay. And he ended up working a few more weeks at $25 an hour because he, you know, because they were really low on staff until they got someone else in there.
Yeah.
And he just wanted to go work at the tire shop across the street, and he actually took a pay cut.
Well, I've still seen, like, Dunkin' Donuts and Aldi grocers here. They're still shooting at, like, $16 or $15 on their advertising. So
that's twice minimum wage still. It's twice sure. and change.
Yeah. Well, that's what the socialists have been pushing for so many years, is the fight for $15. Well, there it is.
There you
it
go.
Happened on, you know,
well,
on
no,
its own.
No. They're up in that now. They want to do the fight for $20.
Of course they do.
Yeah, they're such morons. But what they don't understand is if these people, like, in this state, you know, everywhere, if you just walk away from the problem, like, that is not a, that's not even a fight worth fighting, the fight for 15. It's a stupid fight. If you go away and you just open up the markets, you know, New Hampshire has fairly free markets. And if you allow them to be, you're going to have strict competition for labor.
Oh, big time right
and
now.
And people are going to have to pay in order to have labor.
I want to go to the phones here. We got a caller on the line. You are on the air on Free Talk Live. What's your name?
Hey, it's Joa.
Joa, what's up, dude?
Not much. I was wanted to share a story about a man in Cohasset, Massachusetts. And, you know, the funny thing is that people were wondering how, you know, we would pay for schools if it wasn't for government. Well, I think this guy figured it out. Unfortunately, he got arrested.
Oh, man. What happened?
Yeah. It's right up your alley. This guy was mining crypto in a space in the basement of a school, a middle school. And, yeah, apparently it was illegal and using a lot of electricity.
And I did check out the story because you'd sent it to me earlier today. This guy worked for the school. So it wasn't like a student or something had snuck down in the basement and set up a Bitcoin miner. This guy was actually right. on the staff, so he had access to this crawl space, basically, and he set up a series. They showed, like, the police seizure photo where it shows all the stuff they seized, and it looked like, I don't know, 10 to 12 Bitcoin miners this guy had rolling.
Wow. A lot of money,
like,
electricity.
He's probably, you know, heating the place.
Maybe that's how they detected it. Like, why is this floor warm? And then they went down and checked it out. So, yeah, he's facing criminal charges for this. I think they charged him with, like, vandalism of the school and unauthorized something or other.
And he's got a warrant out right now because he didn't show up to his arraignment or something.
Oh, whoa. Damn. Well,
yeah.
Maybe he hit the road. He's never coming back to Massachusetts.
But, like, I look at it as, like, that was very libertarian of him. As long as he gave it back, you know, he was, you know, funding the school with it.
Why would he want to give it back to them? I mean,
well,
screw them.
Saying is,
and it,
like,
wasn't necessarily consensual.
Property that's not his.
Yeah, but it's the, you know, who cares? I mean, it's not anybody's property. It's stolen property at that point. You might as well use the damn electricity. I don't see that he,
like,
did anything wrong. I mean, if you managed to plug a Bitcoin miner in the city hall and throw it up in the ceiling, good for you.
There's so many kids
keep
who
keep it running, you know.
Who, like, a UMass in their dorm room, they got, like, three Bitcoin miners running, and they got the air conditioner cranked. And
might as well. I mean, if somebody else is paying the electric bill. Hey, Joe, anything else you want to share tonight?
Nope, that's it. Thank you very
much.
Man,
appreciate it. Let's go to this caller. You're on Free Talk Live. What's your name?
Hey, Ian, it's Frank from Michigan.
Frank, what's on your mind tonight?
Ian, I'm surprised at you. I can't believe that you are promoting stealing. Even if it is from the government, stealing electricity from the government doesn't seem to be very libertarian, but that's not why I call.
Well, everything they have is already stolen, so you're just reappropriating it for yourself.
Okay, so no holds barred then. All right, gotcha. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about your case. Before that, do you ever have any contact with Sam Dodson, your old buddy that moved to Texas? You ever hear from
him? Yeah, Sam's doing great. He's hosting a regular streaming show. And what is his username? I think it's To the Lifeboats. Oh, no, I think he changed it. Or he got banned from Twitter a couple of times. And then in this recent Elon Musk Twitter takeover, they did unban his account. And I will see if I can find out what it is for you. It is Green Eggs and Sam. The username is at Ham Eggs and Sam, the letter N. Ham Eggs and Sam is his username. He's got like 33,000 followers.
Wow.
And his live streams get thousands of viewers. So he's doing a lot better than we are, actually. Sam's doing great. Why do you ask?
All right, sounds
just
good.
Curious.
I'll definitely look him up. I always liked him when he would be a guest on your show or whatever.
Yeah, I miss Sam. He's a really talented guy. I hope that we can get him back up here someday, as well as all the wonderful activists that we've lost over the years.
It was partially his videos that got me here.
Absolutely. Dude's an amazing media talent. So what else?
Just real quick about your case, if you can talk about it. I know you're going for sentencing in April, right?
That's correct, yep.
What was the most serious? You were convicted of 6 charges, I believe. What was the most
8.
Serious? Oh, 8. Okay, my bad. So some kind of fraud or something? What was the most serious charge?
No, there was no fraud. They dropped all the wire fraud charges prior to the trial, and the charges that were the largest sentences were the so-called money laundering charges. So there was one where they had an undercover officer who claimed to be a heroin dealer who I refused to sell Bitcoin to, that then went to use a Bitcoin vending machine in the area, and they are calling that money laundering. Even though I told him that I couldn't authorize him to do that, he went ahead and did it anyway, and they charged me with that. And then there's another one that they hit me with, which was conspiracy to money launder, where they say that just basically because some scam artists were on the internet who managed to victimize some people, and then those victims came and bought Bitcoin from me, that I should have known that they were being scammed somehow, and that because they think that I knew, because of that, they argued that it was a conspiracy with those scam artists, even though there was never any kind of actual communications between me and the scam artists. They never, had a shred of evidence of anything like that, because nothing like that exists. But just because I didn't know, there's this thing called willful ignorance, apparently. And, of course, that's, in my opinion, it's ridiculous, because I was checking these people. I was talking to these people. I asked them a series of probing questions in
many
cases.
Like you're supposed to.
And got their IDs and, gave them plenty of opportunity to, realize that they were being a victim of a scam. But, they were telling lies to me to trick me, basically, into doing these sales to them. But none of my points apparently sat with the jury, so they found me guilty of those. Those are 20-year maximum sentences, both of those charges.
Did you testify?
I did. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. All right. So just real quick, can you tell me, like, did you have like a Bitcoin vending machine, or how did that work exactly?
The Shire Free Church, which is my church, had 4 different Bitcoin vending machines in New Hampshire.
Okay, so people come and just can go to this machine and buy Bitcoin. What does that have to do with you, other than the fact that you are like the leader of the church?
I was the one running that program, so I was the one handling.
But did they have to like talk to you and get your approval, that kind of thing? Is that what they're claiming? Because you approved the sales that you were
No. The Bitcoin vending machines were privacy respecting, and I also sold Bitcoin on Local Bitcoins, which is a website. So you could sell bitcoins directly online to interested parties. And that was one of the other arguments they basically were saying, is that the reason why they think that I had a conspiracy with money launderers or with wire fraudsters to money launder for them was because I announced that I respected privacy. And so therefore, because I announced that I respect people's privacy, therefore that was an invitation, according to them, to have scam artists come and buy from me, which is ridiculous. But it's the whole argument the federal government's making here is that privacy is a crime.
Yeah, that makes sense.
that's what they believe that the jury believed. Without we don't know what the jury actually believed, but that's what they think. The prosecutors.
So the vending machine wasn't the problem. It was the sales that you made.
No, it was all of the above. They hate it all. Yeah, they hate any kind of privacy, and anybody that's doing privacy-related things is a criminal to them.
All right. Well, I appreciate you giving me the information. I wasn't clear on exactly what the gist of it was. But
yeah, if you want more info, you can go to thecrypto6.com. I don't know if the trial details are there or if they're linked there. It's not my website. But Chris Wade, who's our Friday night co-host, was at the trial every single day. He took exhaustive level of notes, and so if you want to read his trial notes, you can go to freekeen.com, and it'll go through like I said, there's beyond a transcript, which we will have eventually at some point, which I'm not looking forward to seeing how much that costs. But beyond actually having the transcript, Chris's notes are probably the closest thing you're going to get. So those are
at
freeteam.com.
The judge that oversaw the trial is the sentencing judge as well, I assume?
That's correct.
And did I hear you say that you thought he was pretty fair?
I did, yeah. And I said that during the trial and before the trial as well. Like, in my observation, he seemed to be fairly thoughtful. He seemed to be pretty fair, at least as far as the objections during the trial. He seemed to hand them out to both sides.
He was playing word games with cryptocurrency, calling it funds.
Well, unfortunately, he was basing that opinion on other judges' opinions. That's something that we're going to be challenging in the appeal. But there are other federal judges who have determined in other cases that Bitcoin is quote-unquote funds. So he was citing those other judges who also don't know what they're talking about in that particular case. So, yeah, that was certainly an issue we had with this particular judge, but all of the federal judges are going to say that. Because they want to, yeah. You know, that benefits the federal government, right? Like, mm-hmm. The Bitcoin is whatever the federal government wants it to be in the given moment. So the IRS thinks that Bitcoin is a commodity. So it's a commodity. And the judges think it's funds. In the cases, you know, the SEC thinks it's securities, right? So it's a security, and it's funds, and it's like all these things. And, of course, reality is Bitcoin is just math. Bitcoin is just freedom of speech. That's what Bitcoin is.
It's just a language.
Yeah. Did that answer your question? But to go a little further on the judge, he was handing out the objections to both sides pretty evenly. So, like, he wasn't taking one side over the other, I would say. And so, that was nice. Having heard all the horror stories about some of the federal judges out there, like in the Ross Ulbricht case where that lady wouldn't even let them put a defense on. This guy, you know, he gave us pretty wide latitude to put on the case that we wanted to put on. We got to call all the witnesses we, you know, wanted to call, that sort of thing. So he didn't, like, shut down things before they happen, that kind of thing. So, yeah.
Gotcha. And do you know what the sentencing guideline range is? Has that been calculated?
I don't know, honestly. I know that the feds said when I was found guilty, they said that the maximum would be, like, 20 years or something. And I've heard rumor that they're going to ask for 8. That's what apparently they're telling the media, but I don't know. And it really doesn't matter ultimately because the judge can sentence outside of the guidelines if he wants to. So if he wants to sentence higher, he can sentence higher. If he wants to sentence lower, he can sentence lower.
True, but he has to provide a reason, a compelling reason to deviate.
Okay. You sound like you know a lot about the court system. Do you work as an attorney or something?
I'm a parole agent, parole probation agent in the state of Michigan. So I know a bit about, you know, state law more, and I don't deal with the federal, and that's a lot of similarities. So.
Well, we are still accepting letters, so if you feel like writing a letter on my behalf, you can go to letters.freetalklive.com, and you get all the details there on what you can do.
All right. Well, I wish you good luck.
Thanks. I appreciate the call tonight. The number here is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And yeah, Sam Dodson, former co-host, looks like he's got a website, tothelifeboats.com that domain's for sale. He doesn't have a website. It's listed on his Twitter account. So I think he just streams on Twitter. I don't know, maybe Twitch or something else like that, but yeah, he was talking about COVID and all kinds of stuff. He's still with us. He's still on our side. So kudos to Sam. Miss that guy. If you want to join the show here, 603-283-6160. If you guys could bring somebody back to New Hampshire, you know, who's the first person that comes to mind? Somebody who's left over the years. You're like, man.
Dodson would be yours.
We ought to have that guy back. I mean, Dodson's definitely one of them for sure.
Derek J.
For
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, he had to leave, unfortunately, due to the FBI crackdown on crypto here in New Hampshire. Can't blame them for that at all.
Yeah, they beat on their door for 6 straight hours.
Harassed the hell out of them guys. Followed them everywhere.
Yeah, you didn't know that?
I haven't had a chance to talk to him, unfortunately.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, the morning of the raid, the FBI was at Stephen and Derek's house beating on the door, and they just refused to answer the door.
Wow. No, I had not heard that story.
Yeah, they wanted to talk to him. They said, well, we don't want to talk to you.
Right. Good move.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we were talking about Marjorie Taylor Greene, this lady who is in the the U.S. House, and she spoke out recently in favor of national divorce. A lot of the people on the right are in conflict over this, because certainly some of them can see the benefit to the idea of, hey, look, if your goal was to create this kind of right-wing theocratic society with all your rules about, you know, who you can have sex with or whatever it is that the right wing wants, then if you could accomplish that by just saying goodbye to the federal government, why wouldn't you want to? It seems like a no-brainer. Well, but some of these people, they want to fight.
Yeah, because they want to have ultimate power. They want to rule people. This is the sort of the mentality of the parasite class. The career parasites do not want to give up, you know, their benefits that they get, their paycheck, their power that they feel they deserve over their neighbors.
Well, and I think you touched on this before, Jay, is that these guys that want to have the constant conflict between them and the left, like this Matt Walsh character, yep, who says he's not going to surrender half my country to these people and would rather spend the rest of his life fighting, that fight for him is what puts dinner on the table, yep, right? That's why people watch him.
He's what's Matt Walsh worth?
I don't know, but he's got 100,000 or like hundreds of thousands of followers on social media, so probably worth something.
Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if he's the equivalent of, I'm trying to think of a guy's name. They just had a big spat with Ben Shapiro's outfit there. I forget his name.
Daily Wire.
Oh, Crowder.
Crowder. So yeah, they offered him like a 12
million.
Oh, 50?
50.
50?
I think it was, maybe it was 15.
I thought it was 50.
Where's
an outfit like that getting 50 million?
Whatever.
I think
it was over a several-year period.
Yeah, it was.
So it was like 15 or 12 million per year. 12 mm-hmm. million sticks in my head.
I can't believe they're making Major League Baseball money in order to be able to pay.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Matt Walsh has got to be,
he's up there,
sort of, yeah, with Crowder. And for Daily Wire to offer these guys millions of dollars a year for, you know, whatever their talent,
mm-hmm,
you know, so, you know, they're making big money. Right. These guys, from what I can tell,
you gotta have an enemy.
And yeah, and the controversy is, you know, is the thing. Mm-hmm. And you know, this whole with Marjorie with MTG saying divide states. The problem isn't really with states; it's sort of city versus rural. And when we come back in the next segment, I would kind of like to lay out how I think our culture has gotten divided.
Mm. Yeah, we can definitely get into that. And the thing is, it's short-sighted on this guy's part, because like the belief that conflict would go away after a national divorce is ridiculous. Then you're just going to have the conservatives fighting with the other conservatives over how their conservative state's going to go, because you know that people are never going to agree on everything. Yes, a conservative nation would certainly be more like what they're looking for, but then they're going to be fighting over all the, like, kind of like how the libertarians are always infighting over stupid crap. Those things will then become your national issues that people are, you know, undercutting one another over and fighting and backstabbing over. There's more coming up. Free Talk Live.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
USA News Update. Federal officials investigating the toxic train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio, say what happened didn't have to.
We call things accidents. There is no accident. Every single event that we investigate is preventable.
NTSB Chair Jennifer Homendy detailed how a wheel bearing on one of the train cars overheated and failed. More people are in the dark and more flights are being canceled as the impacts of a major winter storm continue to be felt. Michigan is in the epicenter for power outages in the U.S. More than 800,000 people are without power. The Oscars will have a crisis communications team this year after last year's incident when Will Smith slapped comedian Chris Rock.
Oh, wow! Will Smith just smacked the out of it.
As for Smith, he's been banned from attending the Oscars for 10 years. Dave Collins, USA News.
Both my legs were amputated due to an IED. It's when you start to try to get back into, like, an everyday life. I absolutely felt like I lost some of my purpose. There must be something more. When DAV came into my life, they gave me a new mission. I could still be a productive member of society, could still support a family.
The DAV gave him that sense of structure and purpose again to get his life back together.
Visit DAV.org to learn more about our mission.
What kind of help does the IRS have for identity theft victims?
If you suspect you're a victim of tax-related identity theft, go to irs.gov/identity theft to learn how to prevent potential refund fraud and protect your tax account. At the IRS, combating tax-related identity theft is a top priority, and we are committed to prevention, detection, and assisting victims. And we're working with law enforcement to catch the criminals. For more info, go to irs.gov/identity theft to learn what the IRS is doing to help protect you.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Live. The phones are open. If you want to join us here, the number is 603-283-6160. 603-283-6160. You can join us online over at freetalklive.com and enjoy the features we have there for you. We have our own social media platform. It's a Mastodon system. You go to social.freetalklive.com. Mastodon means it's open source. It's self-hosted. It is what they call federated, so it's connected with other Mastodons. Thousands of them, I presume, all around the planet. Unless, of course, they've chosen not to connect with us, because they can break that connection. And then you can't find those people, and they can't find our people, and that's okay, because usually the ones that want to break up with us, well, you don't want to talk to them anyway. We've never broken up with anybody, but I know there's definitely some of them out there who they have us on a list of, oh, these people have too much freedom. We can't let you see what's on that server. So you go to social.freetalklive.com, and you will have more freedom to express yourself there than you will on, say, Facebook or Twitter, some other mega big tech, big media corporation platform.
I am 8 days into my permanent Facebook ban, and it feels fantastic.
Have you replaced it with something else?
No, I have my work Facebook account, so I check that for work purposes. And
are you spending as much time on the
nowhere
work
near? Nowhere near.
Are you finding yourself more productive without the other account? Okay.
Yes, it feels so good.
It was an instant like raise in productivity for me the next day.
It incalculable. I feel so good now. Yeah, I can just, you know, sit and do my thing. And
what I like to hear. Oh. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Eight whole days.
All right. Yeah, 8 days.
I think I'm on 5 years now.
That's fantastic. I remember when you did it. It was a great, I remember when you did it. I was so surprised.
I know you got more comments, Jay, on this whole national divorce thing. We're going to get into that. But Chuck is on the line in Washington State. Go ahead, Chuck.
Couple of things.
Yes, sir.
I keep hearing these clicks on the phone, just so you know. So
sometimes that happens.
All communications are being tapped. Just know that every single one of them. There's a place in somewhere in the West that they use a billion gallons of water a day.
Oh yeah, the Utah facilities.
Utah,
the NSA.
Yeah. And convince the state to shut them off. You know, we hear the commercials. like Economic Freedom Foundation or whatever. But so all communications are being data mined, and then when red flags pop up, it goes into a queue, and AI is probably sorting all everything
probably
out
by now. Yeah.
So they can just super efficiently just take every single communication, you know, when your phone's on, in your pocket, and you're talking to your friend, it's being probably data mined.
You might as well figure that it is. Yeah. Even if it isn't, it probably, you know. Consider you're under being surveilled.
If
certainly if you call us, you're
good.
Being surveilled.
Yeah, if they can do it, they are.
I hope I'm a gold mine for somebody, you know.
All right.
At least I'm doing my part.
What were you calling
Marjorie
about tonight?
Taylor Greene.
Yes.
Marjorie Taylor Greene. You know, first when I first learned about Marjorie Taylor Greene from the northwest part of Georgia there, I was like, wow, they elected a trans woman there. I was really, but then I figured, oh my God, it's not a trans woman. It's just an obnoxious lady that has a lot to say about nothing. I mean, look, if we're talking about a national divorce, I think that what we're really talking about here is this is a manifestation of Marjorie Taylor Greene's insecurity about her own divorce and her attempt to bury the whole idea of the whole fact that she got a divorce from her husband back in 2022. And maybe that's trying to, her weak attempt to bury that whole story with her divorce, because that's
why would anyone care about her divorce?
Christian. Well, I mean, her voters. I mean, she's not the.
She's a good Christian woman or something, and she's not supposed to get a divorce.
Right. You can't.
Yeah, well, whatever. I mean, I don't know if this.
Help.
I don't
she's
know if her taking this particular position. He just dropped off the line. I don't know if her taking this particular position is going to do that, or if that was what her intention was. But I don't care. I mean, the fact is, she's bringing attention to the issue of national divorce, and whether you like that terminology or not, I have to. I kind of agree with. I think it's Bob Murphy. He's a libertarian economist. He's pointing out that he's not a big fan of the terminology national divorce. It's like we generally, those of us who support independence, aren't looking for a bunch of states to join the Red Federation and a bunch of states to join the Blue Federation.
Right.
I mean, that might be a step in the right direction, but it ain't a big step in the right direction.
I don't think it's even a good step in the right direction, considering that there's all kinds of people from all kinds of belief systems and things that are all over the place that you can't, you know, just because you break off a red state doesn't mean it's all red state people that live there.
Well, there's that, but also, like, I'd rather see 50 different divorces instead of two, right? So the more choices that people have, the better off we're all going to be, because it's, you know, we pointed out the conservatives are going to argue with one another over whatever their conservative disagreements and issues are. That's a guarantee. The liberals are going to argue over how best to implement their socialist programs as well. There's going to be schisms there.
Mm-hmm.
So there should be a different set of liberals living in California than live in Oregon, than live in, you know, Washington, than live in Massachusetts, and let them all, you know, spread out to the places that are most like them. Anyway, Jay, you wanted to comment on this. I don't know if it was the culture war, the terminology that you used, but go ahead.
Hey, well, first off, I want to comment on this caller here that just, you know, said that Marjorie Taylor Greene was a trans whatever. So
she does look kind of manly.
Well, she's kind of jacked because she's been a construction worker.
Oh, is that right?
She's like, you know, got calluses on her hands. You know, she's like the real deal when it comes to, you know, someone. She's actually the kind of individual I think.
She's actually had a real job, unlike a lot of people in Congress.
She grew up in a construction company.
Okay.
Yeah. And so then this is a cultural thing, too. So my observation is that a lot of the cultural, we'll call left right now, the people who, you know, were more than happy to put on a mask and just do what government says, the kind of people who respond very well to fear. And Ernie Hancock and I, we've had a lot of discussion about fear. Ernie's always like, you know, don't be afeard, is what he likes to say. And anyways, him and I were talking one day while we were working on something. Ernie spent a lot of time at my place just, you know, building his bus and doing projects together. And he's like, what's the opposite of fear?
Love.
Well, I said competence.
Hmm.
And in order to have competence, you must first have confidence. So low confidence people are going to beg for government to protect them.
Mm-hmm.
And these are also the kind of people who respond very well to fear and sort of have a lemming mentality. Now, so we have exceptions.
Let's be clear. Those people exist on the conservative side, too.
Oh, absolutely.
There's plenty of them that were putting masks on, and a lot of them want to have the police protect them and the military and the whole thing.
There's a lot of low-confidence people on both sides of the aisle.
Yeah.
So getting back to this, what creates a low-confidence individual? Well, I'm going to be a little all over the place here. I'll get
we'll try
it
to rein you in.
Yeah. Anyways, so Marjorie Taylor Greene is a pretty good example of what I do know about her, which is I could be wrong on some of this, but her father owned a construction company. I've heard her talk about, you know, working a construction company and stuff.
Okay.
So you have essentially people who, like, you know, grow up in the cities and they're in, as they, right after conception, they're growing in their mom's womb, you know, as a baby, and whatever isn't toxins are in mom's environment are going to be introduced right into that baby. A lot of the reasons that women have miscarriages the first time they get pregnant, especially when they're older, is from what I understand, and I haven't like read this in a medical journal. This is just talking around a campfire with people that placenta basically when it's the first one will be just all the heavy metals and the toxins that you've accumulated and inherited, because you will inherit heavy metals and toxins from your mom, basically go into that placenta, and it actually is a way of, you know, getting rid of a bunch of heavy metals. If that is BS, somebody please tell me, but that's what I understand. So when you're, you know, developing in utero in a city and your mom is consuming products like all the government subsidized food, for example. So since 1984, they've been, for example, spraying Roundup, which is has a chemical in it called glyphosate. Glyphosate is a mineral inhibitor, and when you consume genetically modified Roundup ready food products, you actually consume some of this mineral inhibitor called glyphosate. In fact, the glyphosate can be traced in, like, the glyphosate in a bag of Doritos is off the chart. It's really bad, and all the high fructose corn syrup, it's found in there. So
soy.
Soy? Yeah, soy is very much Roundup ready. Tons of Roundup is sprayed on soy. Cotton, and, you know, the biggest, people are like, oh, people don't eat cotton, but women use cotton for menstrual product, tampons.
Yeah.
And this is, you have, so you have all these chemicals, and then you have a whole bunch of all kinds of environmental chemicals. But, like, when you're in a city and you're buying food from the grocery store, most of that food is basically contaminated, as far as I can tell. The way you get a government subsidy on food is you have to use Monsanto growing practices. The fertilizer that is required to use is synthetic fertilizer.
Most people are buying groceries at the store, even if they're living in rural areas. I mean, there's more people buying.
This is one compound.
Okay.
This is compounding layers. So if you're in a city, you're breathing poor air, especially like a lot of these big, like L.A., for example, has really poor air. And I've never even been to L.A. Denver,
awful.
Actually, I've seen a smog in Denver. I've been there. There's been times in Denver where, like, your eyes are burning because it just happens to be a day where, like, the wind's not carrying the smog away. It's actually cleaner now than it was. But and when I do remember my eyes burning years ago in Denver, it was pretty scary. And my, like, you know, hacked up stuff later on that day, that was kind of scary. And then you have the water. So a lot of the water in your municipal water supplies is fluoridated, chlorinated. I can't remember the thing about fluoride, but basically there was a fluoride. There's a story from the 50s how fluoride that they put in water was a byproduct of the Manhattan Project and
it was all nuclear waste, right?
Yeah, uranium or plutonium or something.
Mm-hmm.
New Jersey's like totally destroyed with all the fluoride from the Manhattan Project. That's sort of the articles about all the farmland and stuff. Used to be Garden State, basically no longer is.
It's the garbage state.
Yes.
It's what they call it.
Plutonium, depleted uranium, plutonium state, basically. So anyways, and then you're also in the water. You're consuming, like, almost all these big cities have, like, surface water. So when you consume surface water, anything upstream of that, like septic systems, municipal discharge, there's all kinds of synthetic hormones. So you got people that like are on birth control. There's all those synthetic hormones that don't break down in nature. And they're finding them in basically the drinking water. You also have the hormones that they're giving to the cows, the chickens, you know, the pigs, pork. The other white meat was just propaganda because they were started raising pigs in captivity. You know, 4,000 hogs in like a 12-acre barn on concrete, not getting any sun, keep them the perfect temperature, the perfect humidity. 4.5 months, you've got a market hog, and that hog's been fed the cheapest government-subsidized Roundup-ready, you know, laced chemical whatever feed. And so now these pigs are anemic, so that's why pork is white. So like, you guys see the pork that I produce, for example, and Bardo Farm produces. Well, our pigs are on dirt, actually, and we got good dirt in New Hampshire. It's a lot of red dirt here. There's iron in it, and pigs need iron. So we have, like, I when I'm cooking at Pork Fest, I'm cooking like a country-style rib. People are like, what kind of steak is that? That's pork? I've never seen pork that red. And I tell people the story about, you know, the white meat pork, the other white meat.
That's why pork, the other white meat, is white, because they're anemic.
Yep.
I did not know that.
Yes.
That's interesting.
Factory farming. That's so, and factory farming can't happen without government-subsidized farming practices. So, anyways, you have all these layers. So, you got all the synthetic chemicals. You got a baby in utero that's developing, and it's getting all this stuff. And then the baby's born, and now the baby's giving, you know, since 1986, has been given, I don't know, 40-something vaccines in 1986. Now it's like 72 vaccines. You know, there is no safe vaccine, bottom line. Also, and then the kid is growing up in this environment. So when you're developed in an environment that's just full of toxins, mom's consuming toxins unknowingly. I mean, most people have no idea about this. They're just trying to pay the taxes, you know, go to work, you know, pay off their school debt or go to college for their, you know, entire brain development years. And so then the kid is you know, out and born, out in the environment, gets loaded up with a whole bunch of vaccines. So, you know, about 20 years ago, you started getting some form of high-speed internet in the cities. One of the things that's been happening as long as high-speed internet's been available is parents and mostly single moms have been using internet devices as pacifiers and babysitters. So now you have this toxic environment that and all the toxins that the baby's been exposed to. Now the baby, a lot of these kids are being programmed. I call it imprinted. So when a horse is first born, we do what's called imprinting. So we take and pick up the horse's feet. We put tack on the horses. We put blanks on them. We blankets on them. We trim. We run the clippers all along their face and by their eyes and their ears.
Makes it more docile for later on. Basically.
Every day when they're first born for like a week, you do these things, and you can do whatever you want. When that horse is an adult and 1,500 pounds, you can do all these things.
They're used to it.
They don't care.
Yeah. And you're saying all this stuff is done before they even set foot in the government indoctrination.
Right, and that's what I was getting to next. So you have
cherry on top, right?
So you have the internet. You know, the kid's brain is 90% developed by the time they're 6 years old. So now you have this high speed internet where they're like one of the examples is you see a lot of people who are. You know, millennials, for example, that, you know, bounce around and they act like an animated character. Well, when you have a lot, it's just like on, you know, YouTubers or whatever, or just people in general is kind of the way they act. And then you have the whole, like, I'm a furry, I'm a cat, you know, I don't know what gender I am, you know. And so I believe, you know, big tech is certainly programming the children right from a very young age as soon as they can get to them. A tablet is like almost for free, especially if you want to get, you know, welfare from the state and, you know, fill out all the paperwork as a single mom. It's really easy to get all of these, you know, daddy government benefits. And
they're even giving tablets out in prison now.
Yeah. And then but the tablets to the developing brains are really, really detrimental to the kids. So their brains are actually wired totally different. A kid that grows up, you know, develops looking at an internet device.
Sure, versus going outside and playing or whatever, right?
You know, one that's sort of grown Amish style. So then you
have they actually compared the brains? Like, have they actually got an Amish kid and a city kid together? Because it'd be really interesting.
That would be interesting.
That would be a good one, though.
Yeah.
But there's definitely some studies. There was an Apple whistleblower that Apple conducted a study of 3 to 5 year olds, and this guy whistleblowed in 2013 to like Congress or something. And he was saying that the dopamine hit that a developing brain gets, a 3 to 5 year old, from interacting with a internet device is so extreme that if a developed brain of an adult was to get such a dopamine hit from, say, a narcotic, I don't remember what narcotic he said, whether it was heroin or cocaine, but would result in an overdose, most likely death. But all the bunch of scientists and psychologists and all kinds of people are calling basically internet devices electronic cocaine, digital cocaine. It stimulates the very same part of the brain. So now you got you have whole generations of young men who have been gaming ever since they can game. You know, I don't know what age you can game at. I watch a poor little.
I was playing the Nintendo when I was probably 6 or 7 or something in the 80s.
In 1986, we got a Nintendo when I was 6 years old, and like I didn't put many hours on it. I didn't care about. You know, I was stupid. I wanted to go, you know, get in the mud and do stuff at the farm. But you got a lot of people who've been, you know, a lot of boys have been playing these games since they're 3, 4, 5 years old. And, you know, I saw a kid the other a couple weeks ago. He's 3 years old, and he had a PlayStation something or another, and he was just hammering away at it, playing some, I don't know what the game was, some car game.
Yeah.
And so then you got all these people that are essentially being programmed, you know, to be drone operators for the military, and they love this, you know, first-person combat, you know, shoot 'em up, Duke Nukem, whatever stuff, Call of Duty.
Yeah, they dress up in fatigues and drop bombs from remote-controlled planes.
Fortnite, I was watching a kid play that a couple summers ago. He's like 8. He's just all into Fortnite. He's like, check out my skin. And he's like, and I'm like, is that a girl's butt? He's like, yeah, I'm a girl in Fortnite. And they're like, you look good-looking, you know, hind end on the character on, you know. And I'm like, why are you a girl? He goes, I don't want to look at a guy's buddy, told me. He's like 8. And
wow.
But when you have all these compounding things and it's centralized to the urban areas, and so your brain is now fogged up, there's a lot of study that, fluoride calcifies the pineal gland.
Yeah.
And the Nazis used fluoride to keep the masses in their concentration camps docile.
Allegedly. No, that was fluoride, right? Did you say chlorine?
I said fluoride. Did I say fluoride?
I mean fluoride.
Okay.
You said fluoride.
I said, you know, chlorine's another thing. So, here's the other thing. When you're taking a shower in chlorinated water, you're breathing in chlorine gas. When you're taking a shower in fluoridated chlorinated water, you're breathing in, and then you got another chemical called fluorine, which I'm not 100% sure is, but so a lot of people like to take a hot, steamy shower. Well, all that stuff, you're inhaling it. That's a way better way to, like, introduce, like, this stuff to your blood. I mean, your skin's a pretty resistant membrane, but getting it into your lungs, I mean, that's, you know, why a lot of people like to smoke their drugs rather than drink them or put them on topically because it works better. So you have all of these compounding layers with, you know, the junk food, the bad environment, and then you get to the indoctrination centers that they're calling the public schools.
13 years of that, at least.
So, yeah, was it 15,000 hours or something? And so then what they're doing with, you know, these little kids is they're essentially, and here's the other thing, too, 99% of the teacher union, of the members of the teacher union are registered Democrats and donate to the Democrat Party.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And so now when you have a whole bunch of, you know, these sort of leftists who are programming all of the children that are going to school, and most kids that are going to school, public school, are not being, like my dad, I went to public school. It was a totally different thing 20 years ago when I graduated school 25 years ago. But my dad was like, what did you do today? What did you guys talk about? And I can remember, like, there was, like, the right to bear arms, for example, in eighth grade in U.S. history, in the Scott Forsman book, which was a publisher for the public school. It said that a right to bear arms does not give individual citizens a right to own guns.
Mm.
It is for police and military.
Wow.
And
this was 20-something years ago.
Yeah, so this was, like, 19, no, it was almost 30 years ago.
So even back then, they were clearly pushing an agenda.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So
it's
like,
just worse now.
So, but, like, my dad was like, No. We're going to go have a talk with this history teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, like, very adamant that this was wrong and this should not be put in here. And the history teacher, the guy's name was Brian Walsh at the time, he was actually pretty all right dude. And he's like, yeah, I don't know why they put that in there, but that is incorrect. And so you go through this public indoctrination system, and then you have a whole another compounding layer where 23% of the children in America, which is the highest in the world, three times the average is 7% of the children in America are raised in a single family. 23% of America's children are raised in a single family, and 85% of them are raised just by mom. So now mom has to be the dad, which is not natural, which is very much a struggle. She has to rely on the state in order to get along. So now you have, the brainwashing, the toxins, the chemicals, and this, and if you, so the, what is the exception to this rule I just laid out is, people who are entrepreneurs or farmers.
Mm-hmm.
And then most, and so we have people that are entrepreneurs and farmers that do live in a city. But farmers are essentially entrepreneurs. So you got guys like, I can't think of any examples off the top of my head, but, people who, grew up in a city and were part of this culture and they've come out of it.
Luke.
Yes. And, actually, I'm not sure if Luke's parents were an entrepreneur. I kind of think, I don't remember what Luke's parents do, but
he's from the city. He's from New York.
Yeah, he's from New York. So Luke definitely woke up. But also, Luke was 10 years old when he came to this country.
Okay.
So he was in Poland before that. And there's a whole bunch of other things about Luke I'm not going to say in here that have to do with that. But there's examples of people who grew up in a city and their parents owned a coffee shop. So if you're an entrepreneur, you bring your kids to work with you most of the time.
Sure.
In fact, I think it's a detriment to your children not to bring them to work.
I totally
with you
agree.
If you're an entrepreneur.
It's one of the most important things I think that happened to me growing up was I got to work at my mom's thrift store and learn how to do customer service and help people and smile and run a cash register and things like that. We can continue here. Your number, if you want to join us, 603-283-6160, talking about this sort of system of instilling fear in people. We're going to get back into it coming up here in hour number three. You can join the show, 603-283-6160. This is Free Talk Live.
Do you ever get the feeling that the world is being held together with duct tape? Every day we're thrown some new meaningless drama in the fake news to distract us from the reality we're all about to face. Between the government trying to print their way out of debt, military conflicts, the disintegration of our most trusted institutions, and a looming food shortage, preparedness is no longer a choice. It's a necessity. You can trust My Patriot Supply. Our emergency food kits come packed with tasty meals, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit for each person in your family. Self-reliance is the only alternative to government food lines. Time is running out. Become ungovernable. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save on dozens of different emergency food kits while you can. These kits are in stock, ship fast, and arrive in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com before the next crisis strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.